V'haya ki savo el ha'aretz asher Adonai Elohecha nosein lecha nachala v'rishta v'yashavta ba. Dot. Hashkifa mima'on kodshecha min hashamayim uvarech es amecha es Yisrael v'yeis ha'adama asher nasata lanu kasher nishbata lavosenu eretz savas cholav udvash. It will be when you enter the land that Hashem your God gives you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it. ... Which is called an ellipsis, by the way. Gaze down from your holy abode, from the heavens, and bless your people Israel and the ground that you gave us, as you swore to our forefathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. OU Israel presents
Come In. Welcome.
Shalom, and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Ki Tavo. Recording and first broadcast, the 16th day of Elul 5774, corresponding to September 11th, a day that, like Pearl Harbor Day, shall live in infamy, and we should pause for a moment to remember the victims, remember the change that came over the United States and the world, and the clarity of who public enemies number one are. Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir hama'alot mima'amakim krati'cha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli, tihyena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor yoh Adonai mi'ya'amod, ki imacha hasalicha l'ma'an tivare. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi'shomerim la'boker, shomerim la'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut, v'hu yifdeh et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achinu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya, ha-omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha-makom yurachem aleihem v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha, u'me'afela l'ora u'mishibud l'geula, Hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. Yesterday and tomorrow are special days for me and my family. It was the Wednesday between Ki Teitse and Ki Tavo, when we made Aliyah. The Hebrew date is tomorrow's date, the 17th of Elul. The secular date is next Tuesday, September 16th. So I sort of celebrate all three, and maybe everything in between. This time it's a 7-day spread. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. But the significance to me of the day of the week and the Parshat HaShavua is even greater than the date in either calendar, because a date is a date. But Wednesday is Mittwoch, middle of the week, between Ki Taitsei, when you go out, in my case, from the United States, and Ki Tavo El Haaretz, when you come into the land of Israel. I remember getting an aliyah on my last Shabbat in my old shul in the States, and the following week getting an aliyah in my new shul in Yerushalayim. So it was always been very special. I'll tell you how many years it's been. Excuse me, this marks 33 years of our aliyah, and that's significant especially to me because I am approaching, not yet, but I'm approaching the point where I will have been in Israel longer than in Brooklyn and Queens put together. Emir Tzah Hashem. I remember celebrating back when I was here 13 years, bypassing the amount of time I lived in Queens, then at 20 years, bypassing the amount of time I had lived in Brooklyn, where I was born and grew up, and the combination is more than 33 years, but we're getting there, having just come to the 33-year mark. So I thank God for being here, for coming when I did. I could have come earlier, possibly. I also could have ended up staying in the States longer, maybe too long, and I'm not second-guessing the way we did it. But we're here, Baruch Hashem, and any regular listener or even casual listener to Torah Tidbits Audio or a casual reader of Torah Tidbits knows that Aliyah is one of my favorite things to talk about and to encourage, and I really believe with all my heart that this is where the Jewish people belong, and not just the Jewish people as a general group, but each and every single Jew. Now, that brings us to the first topic in the Parsha. First, let me say that with Ki Taitsei last week, we have basically finished the mitzvot of the Torah. There are six mitzvot in Ki Tavo, two more in the rest of the Torah, and that's it. So with 74 last week and 41 the previous week and 55 the week before that, 170 mitzvot in the last 3 weeks, we basically are done with the heavy mitzvot. And now we see in Ki Tavo, we'll see it also in Nitzavim Vayelech Hazinu and Vezot HaBracha, that the people are getting a good sense of not what is expected of us, but why we do it all in the first place. It's the nationhood aspect, it's the gift from God aspect, it's the chosenness aspect. There are many different things that input to that all-important why are we doing this kind of thing. So what we have in our first encounter here is when it will come to pass that you will enter the land, and the people are poised on the threshold, and those of us who live here are here, and those of us who don't live here are also poised on a threshold of some sort. But you also need the Beit HaMikdash for this first mitzvah, which we don't have at the moment, but we'll talk about that also. The mitzvah is the partner mitzvah, the sister mitzvah to bringing Bikurim. Way back in Parshat Mishpatim, we had the Pasuk Reshit Bikurei Admatcha, the first fruits of the ground. You shall bring Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha to the house of God, meaning the Beit HaMikdash. And enigmatically, the verse in Mishpatim and the repeat of that verse in Kitisa says, Lo Tavashel Gedi Bachalev Imo. Not going to get into now what those two things are doing with each other, but that's the source of the mitzvah to bring Bikurim. Here, we have a second mitzvah related to Bikurim, and that is that when a person brings his first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash, there is a declaration which he must recite. It's called, the Declaration of Bikurim. We won't give it another name at this point. This declaration is very famous, made famous in the interim until we have Bikurim back, but I don't think we'll stop saying it, and you will hear in a moment. But let me read the English, and then I'll segue into the Hebrew, and then back to the translation. You shall come to whoever will be the Kohen in those days, and you shall say to him, I declare today to Hashem your God that I have come to the land that Hashem swore to our forefathers to give us. The Kohen shall take the basket, that's a basket of first fruits of the seven species, wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, or dates, and or dates, and lay it before the altar of Hashem your God. In the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash, he places it down. Then you shall call out and say before Hashem your God the following words. Arami oved avi, vayered mitzrayma, vayogar sham bimetei ma'at, vayhi sham legoi gadol atzum varav. An Aramean tried to destroy my forefather. That's considered a reference to Lavan attempting to vanquish Yaakov. He, Yaakov, descended to Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, small family, and there he became a nation, great, strong, and numerous. The Egyptians mistreated us and afflicted us and placed hard work upon us. Then we cried out to Hashem, the God of our forefathers, and Hashem heard our voice and saw our affliction, our travail, and our oppression. Hashem took us out of Egypt with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, with great awesomeness, and with signs and with wonders. I have just read the translation of four verses out of a five or so verse statement from the Art Scroll Stone edition of the Chumash, by the way. And those psukim are familiar to us from the Pesach Seder. The editors of the Haggadah were looking for a relatively short but complete description of why we celebrate Pesach. And they decided not to use full original material in the Parshiot of Shemot, Vo'era, Bo, Bishalach, because you can't do that when you're sitting at the table on the Seder night. You don't have enough time for it. You need months to study those Parshiot. And they came upon this declaration of the Bikurim bringer, who in four verses told the whole story, how Yaakov went down to Egypt with his family and grew to a large multitude there, the oppression of the Egyptians of the Jewish people, the people of Israel, the Israelites, our calling out to God for help, and God taking us out of Egypt. That's pretty much the whole story. So the editors of the Haggadah said, got a great idea. Let's go to this secondary source, use these verses, analyze some of the wording, and that also gets into the Haggadah, where they take apart these verses and explain in relatively short form what the phrasing and wording means. They invite us in our variety of background and knowledge and education to enhance and further develop the theme of these four psukim so that people at the Seder will share Divrei Torah that they read in this Haggadah, that Haggadah, heard in a speech, in a class someplace, have notebooks from school. And it becomes flexible. You could knock off the portion of the telling about the night of the Exodus, etc., in a half an hour, 45 minutes. You could do it in an hour. You could do it in 2 hours, 3 hours, etc. So even though we have the concept of V'chol hamar b'lesaper b'yitziat Mitzrayim harei zeh meshubach, These four psukim were chosen because they encapsulate the entire story. From going down to Egypt, from being oppressed, calling out to God, and God taking us out of Egypt. The Bikurim bringer, however, continues. He says, after those four verses, Vayivienu el hamakom hazeh, and he, God, brought us to this place, Vayiten lanu et haaretz hazot, and gave us this land, Eretz Zavat Chalav Udevash, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then the Torah continues, and now, behold, I have brought the first fruit of the ground that you have given me, O Hashem, and you shall lay it before Hashem your God, and you shall prostrate yourself before Hashem your God. You shall be glad with all the goodness that Hashem your God has given you and your household, you and the Levite and the proselyte who is in your midst. V'samachta b'chol hatov, you shall rejoice in all the good asher natan lecha Hashem elokecha ulveitecha, ata v'halevi v'hager asher bikir becha. As I am fond of saying at Pesach time, I'll say it here also, the Mishnah in the last chapter of Pesachim that instructs us how to carry out the Seder says that after a child asks his questions, and if he doesn't know how to ask, you teach him Manishtana, the father or the leader of the Seder begins to explain things. And he is to analyze from Arami Oved Avi, this passage, Ad Sheyigmor Kol HaParsha Kula, until he will finish the full portion. Fact, we don't finish the full portion at the Seder. Pay attention to the wording of the Mishnah, Ad Sheyigmor, future tense, until he will in the future be able to read the rest of the passage about coming to Eretz Yisrael and bowing before God at the Beit HaMikdash with the Bikurim. So it's a perfect setup that we have at the Seder, where we have four cups of wine corresponding to these four verses that tell the story. We have a fifth cup of wine, which most people do not drink. Instead, they fill a large goblet as the Kos Shel Eliyahu, Elijah's cup. That's very significant because it focuses us towards the future. Eliyahu Hanavi is the harbinger of the Messiah, the Mashiach, and as such, Kos Shel Eliyahu, this cup, as if to say, we have more to read in the Torah, except that this is Pesach Seder. We are celebrating coming out of Egypt, but we're not yet up to the point, or let's say we're not again up to that point. We were when we had the Beit HaMikdash, especially the first, and to some extent the second, but it's been a long time since. So that in Yirtzeh Hashem, when we have a third Beit HaMikdash, the final Beit HaMikdash, the complete, the everlasting Beit HaMikdash, then we will be able to do what the Mishnah says, and that is, Ad Sheyigmor Kol HaParsha Kula. Then, maybe at the Seder or not, but certainly the Bikurim bringer will recite, yes, our ancestors went down to Egypt, and they were oppressed there, and they called out to God, and God took them out, and he brought us to this place. And that includes not only the physical state of Israel, the physical Eretz Yisrael, but it includes the complete spiritual Eretz Yisrael with a Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So it echoes the idea that I've expressed many, many times, and that is of a glass half empty, half full, half full, half empty, meaning we recognize that it is a great thing that so many Jews are coming back to Eretz Yisrael. We recognize at the same time that we've gone along, come a long way, baby, but we have a long way to go. And when you recognize the middleness of your position, it's very healthy, rather than denying that there's anything more that we want or need, or denying that anything that we have now is something that we should say thank God for. So that's a theme that I have presented many times, but it's here again. Now, the portion of Bikurim finishes with, I can't really call it a command or a mitzvah, but it's about as close as you get to it, where God says, and you shall be glad, you shall rejoice, you shall be happy with all the good that God has given you and your family. And there's an implied petition to share this goodness with the Levite, the proselyte, the poor person, the needier people among the people of Israel, so that the experience is equally joyous for all of Israel. I will say it again as a person who can say, Vayivienu el hamakom hazeh, that you brought me to this place, and I am thrilled and delighted to be here. And my children are growing up to be beautiful, wonderful people with the families of their own in Eretz Yisrael, and I hope it will continue for generations and generations to come. So there is, even though we don't have the actual mitzvah of Bikurim today, there is certainly the flavor of this mitzvah. Every time a person thinks about, you know, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, and I lived in Forest Hills, and then in Kew Gardens Hills, and I taught at the Yeshiva of Central Queens, and I could have made a very comfortable, happy life there, but Baruch Hashem, you brought me, God, here to Eretz Yisrael. It was an El Al plane that did it 33 years ago, but it was you who inspired me to want to live in Eretz Yisrael and to raise my children and now grandchildren, hopefully with a love of living here. So that's part of V'samachta B'chol HaTov. We'll have some more of Torah Tidbits audio shortly. You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Parshat Ki Tavo, and I'll tell you about the music. The opening of the show was from a Japanese animated feature called Fruits Basket. Not Fruit Basket, but Fruits Basket, which of course is Bikurim, where you take a basket and you put fruits in it. First fruits of Shivat Haminim. So that I found appropriate. The reason I'm telling it to you now is, short of any music recognition programs to find out what the music is, I doubt very much that there are people who watch this particular show, even in its English version, and therefore I don't think there's any chance that anyone would recognize it, but it's there because it fit almost perfectly. What didn't fit is that the part that I cut out had Japanese words, and Bikurim, the recitation of Bikurim, can only be done in Hebrew. It's one of those few things that must be done in Lashon HaKodesh and not in translation. Many, many other things in our davening can be translated, and you could daven that way, but not the recitation of Bikurim. The music you heard at the beginning of this came from another obscure TV animated series from somewhere called Happy Families, and it made me think of V'samachta B'chol HaTov, that God he asks us to rejoice in all the good which He has given us, Ulaveitecha, and for our household, our families. So that was the music from Happy Families, and that's what it's doing here on Torah Tidbits Audio. And now you know. So at least I'm able to keep up that kind of theme of the show. Now, we'll stop with the good stuff and transition to the good and the bad. It's not all bad, but it's got a good part too. Because now, with the Vidui Masrot, which had a few mitzvot, we're really, really after the mitzvah portion of the Torah and into reading us the Riot Act, giving us the deal. Back in Parshat Re'eh, we learned that when the people will come to Eretz Yisrael, they will have a special ceremony on Har Gerizim and Har Eval, where blessings and curses will be recited, and the people will respond with Amen. And that's what we have, the details, in this. Moshe commands the people on that day, saying, Ela Ya'amdu, not now, but when you will cross the Jordan and get ready for this ceremony, you will have 6 tribes standing on Har Gerizim and 6 others on Har Eval, and the Levium between, in the valley between, will raise their voices and recite the series of curses, 12 of them. Accursed is the person, I'm translating rather than man. Accursed is the person who will make a graven or molten image, an abomination of Hashem, a craftsman's handiwork, and emplace it in secret. And the entire people shall speak up and say, Amen. There's a theme here, which I'm not going to get into now, of these are kind of sins that are done without people looking, and therefore there's no standing a person to justice, bringing him to trial, and hopefully convicting him and carrying out punishment. It's a series of different warnings of behavior. That's followed by a theme that's repeated in different ways throughout the Torah. Here it's V'haya im shamoa tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha, very similar to the second passage of Shema, but not the same. It shall be that if you hearken to the voice of Hashem your God, to observe, to perform all of His commandments that I command you this day, then Hashem your God will make you supreme over all the nations of the earth. Again, we are presented with a deal. We behave, good things happen. We don't behave, bad things happen. That's the short of it. We don't get the short of it here, we get the long of it. Because after setting down these curses and various blessings, if we listen to God, we then have a very long portion called the Tochacha, which begins with V'haya im lo tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha lishmor v'la'asot et kol mitzvotav v'chukotav asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. If, but, it will be that if you do not hearken to the voice of Hashem your God to observe, to perform, notice the repetition of this, all His commandments and all His decrees that I command you this day, then all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And it lists more of the curses. Then it goes into vivid, devastating destruction, description of destruction, of what happens if we still don't hearken to God's voice. And it's a part that the Torah reading is done in a low voice to avoid the extreme distress that anyone who knows what we're reading should feel, that we have to be warned against all these terrible things and the description of these terrible things that happen. In the middle of this whole thing is a pasuk that I have spoken about many times in the past. I wrote about it this week in Torah Tidbits. I need to say it again. If we're talking about idolatry and other terrible sins, then into the mix goes something which really stands out. The Torah says, all of these curses will happen to you, pursue you, and overtake you. Im lo shamata b'kol Hashem Elokecha, if you didn't listen to God's voice, again a repetition, lishmor mitzvotav v'chukotav asher tzivach, if you don't follow the Torah. Uva'u v'hayu v'cha l'ot u'le mofet uvizaracha ad olam, and this will serve as a sign forever, for as long as it takes. What? What's the problem? Tachat asher lo avadta et Hashem Elokecha b'simcha uvetuv levav meirov kol. I read it in the translation. Because you did not serve Hashem your God amid gladness and goodness of heart when everything was abundant. We are talking here not only about people committing idolatry and people committing all kinds of other terrible sins. We're talking about people not acknowledging and being happy for the goodness that God has given us, and that we didn't serve Hashem with joy when we had everything. Think about this for a moment, and here's one way to look at it. If a person has troubles in life, you could almost understand why he finds it difficult to be joyous. A line from Fiddler comes to my mind, something about when joyful, when we have nothing to be joyful for, something like that. That's understandable. But when things are going well, and there's prosperity, and things are good, and you don't serve God with joy for the goodness that you have, then, unfortunately, we deserve all of the curses that are presented in and around the Tochacha. It's a devastating thought. And it includes not feeling joy even when you do mitzvot. Or maybe especially when you do mitzvot. People, sometimes go through the motions, that's the expression, and don't really feel the joy of doing mitzvot. I often quote a quote that I saw attributed to the Baal Shem Tov. Schar mitzvah, simchat mitzvah. The reward for doing a mitzvah is the joy that you find in doing that mitzvah, the joy that you have in doing that mitzvah. And the lack of that joy is something that will bring upon the Jewish people terrible, terrible consequences. Almost, I don't know, I got to say it again, almost equal to turning our backs on God and worshiping idols. How do you compare that? How can you make yourself happy? That's another question. Not talking about that. But I am talking about a feeling of be happy, you're Jewish. Now, I don't want to explain to any non-Jews who are listening here what I mean by that, but just know that Judaism is not an exclusive club, and there is the ability to join the Jewish people. I say the above, not rehearsed in what I want to say, so it's sort of coming in different parts of my mind and heart. There's a lot of tzaras, trials and tribulations that the Jewish people have undergone in their history. Not only the Jewish people, but individuals have their share of sad things to cope with. And yet, we need to see the total truth of not just keeping mitzvot and keeping the Torah, but in being thrilled and delighted to do so. I expressed before my feelings of joy having had the privilege and the merit and honor and whatever you want to call it to live in Israel. I now want to add the total joy that I feel for being Jewish, for being born Jewish, for which I thank my parents, for being raised in a Jewish home, for which I thank my parents, for my Jewish education, and for my commitment, not just to Judaism, but to the joy of Judaism. Again, I want to go back to the wording in the pasuk in the middle of the Tochacha. God is not castigating us or warning us against not being joyous when things are bad. I think really only a fool can be joyous when things are going bad. So he's not criticizing us for that. He's saying when you had everything, you didn't have the proper joy in what you had and what you are and the whole picture. And that is something that we stand indicted, and we have to defend ourselves by saying, that's not me, or that's not me anymore. What am I saying? I'm not exactly sure. I'm saying that you can take a glass of water and make a shahakol niyah bidvaro and drink it, and you have fulfilled the requirement of the halacha to say a bracha before you drink water. But if you pause for a moment before you say that bracha and you smile, if not on your face, then in your heart and soul, and you say, God, thank you for giving us mitzvot, for giving our sages the intellect and spiritual feelings, sensitivity, to come up with the things that they did that are above and beyond the requirements of the Torah. I'm saying it like that because making a bracha before you drink is like that. And to hold off for a fraction of a second sometimes before the 9 words of that blessing and really have a momentary joy in being part of the nation who does these things, like make a bracha before they take a drink. I'm feeling a little frustrated now because I don't know if I'm getting across the feelings and the idea that I want to. But we are going to stand or sit, as the case may be, this Shabbat when we read the portion of Ki Tavoh. And we're going to get up to the longest aliyah of a single sedra in all of Torah, beginning with good stuff, ending with good stuff, and containing, sandwiched in between, this devastating tochacha. Do I feel that I need to be warned against idolatry? I hope not. But to be reminded over and over again to be happy, to be joyous, to be excited, enthusiastic about Torah and mitzvot and repentance and interpersonal relationships and a completeness of Jewish life on that kind of joy, that's something that we need I need to focus on. After this, what I keep calling devastating reproach and rebuke, the Torah concludes that section by saying, Eile divrei habrit, these are the words of the covenant that Hashem commanded Moshe to seal with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant that he sealed with them in Chorev, which is Sinai. So this is the deal. We got the Torah. We enthusiastically said, Naaseh v'nishma, we will do and we will understand. And here, clearly stated, if you follow the mitzvot, then good things will happen and you'll stay in your land. And if bad things happen, if you don't follow God, bad things will happen. You'll lose your hold on the land and many, many other things. Last portion. Moshe summoned all of Israel and said to them, you have seen everything that Hashem did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Paro, Pharaoh, and to all his servants and to all his land, the great trials that your eyes beheld, those great signs and wonders. But Hashem did not give you a heart to know, or eyes to see, or ears to hear until this day. What is Moshe saying to the people? It took you almost 40 years of experience of a totally different type. Moshe continues, I led you for 40 years in the wilderness. Your garment did not wear out from on you, and your shoe did not wear out from on your foot. Bread you did not eat, and wine or intoxicant you did not drink, so that you would know that I am Hashem your God. Then you arrived at this place, and Sihon, the king of Cheshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, went out towards us in battle, and we smote them. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to Reuven, Gad, and half of Shevet Menasheh. You shall observe the words of this covenant so that you will succeed in all that you do. Remember, we are poised on the threshold of the land of Israel. Moshe needs to keep repeating these things. I find myself at a loss sometimes to understand how generation after generation, from way back all the way through, don't get it. And really the answer is, many people in each generation get it very well. There are plenty of people who don't get it. I don't want to play numbers now, how many people are moved by this, how many people are not moved by this, how many people could care less. The goal is to say, I can't explain previous generations, this is our challenge. Our challenge is to do mitzvot better, learn more Torah, enjoy it more, love it, be enthusiastic about it. And that will help us spread the feelings to our fellow Jews. And it will be a self-propagating kind of general improvement of the people. I believe that there is a cycle in history that keeps getting repeated and repeated and repeated, and it's represented by the reading of the Torah in a yearly cycle, where we hear this again and again and again. What don't we get? When the Torah says, if you do mitzvot, then good things will happen. If you don't do mitzvot, bad things will happen. What's hard to understand? I know what's hard. What's hard is to do things when you've gotten used to a certain lifestyle, way of life, whatever. But maybe when it's repeated and reviewed and spoken about, it will finally hit. And this is our challenge. This is our yearly agenda in Elul and Rosh Hashanah time. It is our around-the-year issue, because none of what I'm saying now can only be done in this month before Rosh Hashanah, and it's not a month anymore. We're talking about 2 weeks from last night. It's already the eve of Rosh Hashanah this year. It's coming up, ready or not, and the point is we should be ready for it. So that's our challenge. On that note, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a second half of Elul, a good one, a productive one, a meaningful one, that we, ourselves, and our families, and our communities should take things la'at la'at, slowly, step by step, for a national kind of improvement to bring about the best Shana Tova Umetuka, sweet and good year, and the Geula Shlema, Lehish Tameah.